Hello and Happy New Year. Welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast. Today it's the Grievous Bodily Farmer back on the podcast with Cameron the Hurt Locker Little. Say hello, Cameron.
Hello.
Cameron, Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you looking fine, Fettle? Fully recovered from your fight on the 8th of December?
Yeah. I think I've recovered well.
Yeah.
I went training on the Thursday night after the fight.
Really?
Yeah, so.
That's the sort of thing No Slack Mac would be up to.
Yeah, maybe.
So have you been training over the Christmas period?
Not really formally, but I've been doing a bit of like running, doing quite long runs.
Okay.
Every maybe 2-3 days.
Okay.
But that's probably been offset by a lot of mince pies and whiskey.
You're a fan of whiskey, are you?
I do like a good whiskey, yeah.
You see, I never understood whiskey. I mean, I feel like it's the emperor's clothes. I obviously it's got no palate at all. No. They all taste the same to me.
Vodka is the one I can't really get on with.
Oh, God. It's just like water and alcohol, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that is definitely Empress Clothes, isn't it? It's all about the marketing, I think. But did you enjoy the event? That's what it's all about. I hope you enjoyed the fight.
I did enjoy the fight, yeah. I saw after my fight, I showered as quickly as I could and got out there. I didn't have any socks on. But
you didn't have any socks
no,
on?
No, I just wanted to get out there and see Toby's fight because I've never really seen him fight. He's always... It was the same at the season's beatings last year, I think. He fought directly after me.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't get to see him fight, and now I was more bloody on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So on this one, I didn't have a bleed, which is good.
Yeah, he's very entertaining, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have any socks on, but at least you had some shoes on when you were fighting, unlike some of the combatants.
Yeah, I heard this jock talk, didn't have any shoes.
Yeah, I didn't quite know what to make of that. I think Matt was very generous in letting him get away with that, but anyway. So you better talk us through the fight then.
Okay, yeah, I was warming up backstage. George helped me warm up.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the first time I met him. He was really good.
Was he your corner man?
He was my corner man, and Anthony also helped me out as well.
Okay, good.
So I had two corner men, so I was very lucky.
Yeah, good.
He was warming up. I was doing a lot of pads, doing some skipping. It was a really small backstage area.
Mm.
So it was a bit tight, but you could still do what you can. Yeah, and I came out, I think, to a Linkin Park and Jay-Z mashup, which was quite good.
Yeah.
And then...
I enjoyed that one, actually.
Yeah?
It was good, yeah.
I'm glad you approve.
Yeah.
Some of the
intro music wasn't the best. Well, there's a couple that weren't... You know, I can't always... Obviously, it's up to the fighters, but I do try and, like, guide people on like, what will sound good, because what sounds good to you isn't necessarily what's going to be, like... You know, a great intro,
yeah,
and it's not going to put fear into your opponent, but but you always tend to choose something quite heavy, which usually works, I think
I went with Rammstein last time. I thought,
yeah, you did, yeah, that was really good, yeah.
Du hast,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that was a good one actually. Maybe you should just keep that one as your signature one.
Maybe, yeah,
yeah. So you came out. It was sellout crowd.
Yes.
What was the reception like?
I think it was fairly good. I think the crowd were kind of in favour of me, and then till. Lars basically threw away all his pieces.
Yeah.
And then they kind of
then he became the underdog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Do you think that's because you're a local lad? He's a bit of a crowd favourite though, Lars. He's got a lot of, swagger about him.
Yeah, he's quite a cool character.
He looks very Icelandic, doesn't he?
He's got a lot of Viking in him.
Yeah. I've just started watching have you watched The Last Kingdom on Netflix? It's all about like Danes coming over.
No.
Vikings coming over to the UK. And he's definitely got that like Viking spirit in him, whatever that is. He's definitely got it, I'd say.
I think so, yeah. And the kind of the nerd element with the glasses.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of this such contradiction of this massive guy,
yeah.
Like muscles the size of your head.
Yeah.
And then he gets out there and he puts on a pair of glasses.
Yeah. Yeah, he's almost like ogreish, isn't he? In terms of his upper body is so bulbous.
Yeah.
And so obviously the first round of chess, how did that develop in your view?
That went okay. I missed a knight. He left a knight on pre.
Mm-hmm.
Just vulnerable.
What does on pre mean?
I think on pre just means just left on...
Oh, right, on its own.
Not supported. Yeah, uh-huh. It's a fancy chess word I think I learned the other day.
Okay,
I think I've used it right.
Good.
Because it was...
But you weren't able to capture it?
I was able to capture it. I just missed it.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, I just... Because I moved up a pawn on my, I think it was my h-file,
uh-huh.
as just like a little pocket for my bishop to kind of sit in, because that's what I normally do on that type of opening.
Uh-huh.
And I just had that in my mind, and I just...
You were just thinking about another strategy and...
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And he did a few, I think, unnecessary pawn moves in front of his king.
Yeah, I remember the commentary. They were basically like, I have no idea why he's just done that.
Yeah, and I was just like, because I play that opening, that type of opening quite a lot.
Mm.
It was like e4, e5... I think knight, c6, bishop c4, like an Italian yeah. style.
And we should opening, I should say actually that thanks to Lars especially for fighting, because he did step in for the injured David Ashman. So he was stepping in not at the last minute, but you know, he did he filled a spot for us, and we've got to thank him for that. And you know, he's fought you before, mm-hmm. and he knew he was going to be undermatched at the chess, mm-hmm. but he still took on the he still picked up the gauntlet, didn't he? So I think that shows real character.
Yeah, I think so. He seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah. Did you not get a chance to chat to him afterwards?
Yeah, we did. We shook hands and we met afterwards. After we like showered and everything. Yeah.
So how did the first round of boxing go then?
Yeah, well, I think I maybe slightly edged it on points, because I got maybe two or three big hits in with my right hand.
Yeah.
So.
Because you quite often use your jab, don't you?
Yeah, and also the referee said I was using my jab well. Uh-huh. But he also said that I wasn't...
So the referee was giving you advice?
No, this was afterwards. This was afterwards. Oh, right, okay. This was in the pub afterwards, I think. He said, you've got a really nice jab, but you're not breathing as well as you could be.
Mm. Do you breathe out when you punch?
I don't even really know. Like
That's what we're talking about today, this morning. Like, because you just get, if you just do it, then you don't, because otherwise you end up holding your breath.
Yeah, I think maybe I do that a bit too much.
And then you get tired quicker because you don't have enough oxygen.
Yeah, and Toby Slobey gave me some good advice, which is like basically everything you do, shadow, skipping, running, like try and do it with your mouth guard in. Uh-huh. And then you get used to breathing with your mouth guard in.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah. So I think I might try and do that a bit more.
So the first round of boxing, it was a little bit feeling each other out kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And in the second round of boxing, he really came out swinging for
it. Well, I think the second round of chess, I seem to remember his position completely collapsing.
Yeah, basically, because he used his knight to take a piece in the middle, like a pawn in the middle, and my bishop could just knock it off the board. Mm. And then that meant his rook was on in the corner, and I just took his rook with my bishop.
Right. And then it's that game's pretty much over then, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I moved my queen in, and then he left his other rook exposed, and that got lost. And
Yeah.
And then I ended up finishing it by putting his king over in the, like on the flank of the board.
Yeah.
Pinning it with my rook and getting a queen and just finishing it.
We didn't finish it in that second round of chess, though, did
no,
you?
No, it went into, I think, a third round of chess.
Yeah. So then we went second round boxing, and Lars obviously realised that he was going to have to win this in the ring if he's going to win it at all. Yeah. He kind of came out, went after you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was quite aggressive. And especially because it was quite a small ring. Relative last time, so there's not much room to get away from him. Mm. Like, I went down even.
Yeah, you're accepting that happened. I thought it looked like it could be a trip.
I think it was kind of a punch-assisted trip, I think.
Punch-assisted trip.
Yeah.
That's what I said when I spoke to Tim Walgar, the hippo. I met up with coffee a couple of weeks ago after the fight, and he said, yeah, I think it was a trip off the back of Lars's glove.
Yeah,
into Cameron's face. So he seemed to think you went down, but you were kind of against the ropes. I seem to remember.
I think
you,
I was. I was
like, there was arms and flailing everywhere. Yeah, and like it was a bit of a melee. I'd say.
Yeah, I was never unconscious at any point.
So, No. But he definitely punched you, I think, and then you kind of tripped and fell down. So I think it was a little bit both, probably.
Probably, yeah.
So you survived that. Didn't get a bloody nose.
No, which I'm very happy about. That was one of my aims. Come out of there blocked with my own blood all over me.
And then you finished him off fairly sharpish on the board.
Yeah, I didn't want to go into another round of boxing. I didn't want to risk... he was probably fairly tired.
Yeah.
But even so, I was just...
Yeah. I think he kind of realised it was over at that point.
Yeah.
You came to train today. Mm-hmm. We've got a little bit of an interview with Dan Mayfield to listen to.
Okay.
Just for Christmas, Matt Reed caught up with Dan... because Dan actually lives out the country, he lives in Jersey, I think.
Okay.
So in a minute we'll have a bit of a listen to that. But what did you think of Matt's training today? Lazy arms or crazy arms?
Oh yeah, I heard you discussing this on the last podcast.
Crazy arms or lazy arms?
I don't know if you noticed, but Matt made some unbelievable excuse. And managed to avoid doing the circuits at the end.
I saw him packing up the chessboards.
I know. He's like, I've got to go. I can't do circuits. He's like, I've got 5 minutes. I'll pack up the chessboards. And he could have easily just stayed and done the circuits, I think.
To be fair, I didn't do all these circuits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were really tough.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so should we have a listen to that interview?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's Saturday, December the 22nd. My name is Matt Crazy Arms Reed. And with me today, I have Dan, the tax man, Mayfield. Say hello, Dan.
Hello there.
So Dan basically had his first, or his debut, chess boxing bout on December the 8th, where he took on Roger the Cannonball Baxter. Dan, do you want to talk us through it? How did it go?
It was a lot of fun. There's nothing quite like it. I tried as hard as I could, and he won on the chess, which I was expecting to happen. But I didn't play badly on the chess, and I did as well as I could have hoped in the boxing. So, you know, I'm proud of how the night went.
Did it go? Did it go the actual full distance in terms of were you finished off in the chess in the very last chess round?
It was the very last chess round, yeah. I actually I thought it was 2 minutes on the chess, 2 minutes on the boxing.
No, it's 3-2.
Yes,
3-2.
But the thing is, I mean, I did know that, but I forgot for the last round for some reason, so I was actually trying to stall for another round, which is why I lost on the time. I don't think anyone knows. I tried to make it very, very subtle because I know you're not allowed to do that, but I was stalling for time for another boxing round. And afterwards, I went, hold on a second. I can't even get another boxing round no matter what happens. So
it's criminal.
I should have tried to gas him out on the time, but...
I know Rog relatively well because I've trained with him for the last sort of 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And I would say his chess is a little bit better in terms of even than my chess.
Yep.
He's got some good skills there. So you're up against it. But, I mean, if you've put up a full-distance chess round in terms of the bout, I think that's really quite impressive. Mm. How did you find the boxing went? Because, obviously, it's a dual sport. You don't have to just rely on your chess. You can win in your boxing.
That's true.
How did you feel the boxing went? Because, obviously, you did 3-4 rounds of 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was... I thought the boxing went well. I mean, personally, I think I won the boxing. I haven't met anyone who said otherwise. But,
nice. No. Chess boxers need confidence. I always think I win everything. It's not true. I go along blindly believing that I win everything. So you think all three rounds go Dan's way?
Yes. Excellent. Yes, I do. Okay, Roger seems to think it was a draw in the third round, but I think it was just with the first two, I was mostly trying to hit as many shots and avoid as many. With the final round, it was more, I'm going to knock him out. I don't care how many shots I take, because I wasn't even keeping my guard up. I was just pummeling him. And, I tried hard. I followed him around the ring. One more round and maybe I would have got him, but it's hard to knock someone out with 16-ounce gloves. And
it is. I can testify to that. Yeah. I've only managed it the once, and it wasn't even a knockout. I just managed to dislocate a guy's jaw, and the referee sort of said, oh, that's enough for him. But no, 16-ounce gloves. I mean, it's not quite fighting with pillows, but it's certainly nowhere near like fighting with 8 or 10-ounce gloves.
Absolutely,
where
you
feel everything.
So
this is actually, unfortunately, a podcast, so you can't see what Dan's like, but I can testify. Dan's tall. How tall are you, Dan?
6'3.5".
6'3.5". Roger isn't anywhere near that tall. Mm. He would be about
5'11.5".
So you had a 4-inch height advantage and probably even more in reach.
Yeah, he's got very short arms for his height.
So yeah, you've probably got at least a 6-inch reach advantage.
Yeah.
So your tactic to start off with, was it to hold the centre of the ring and to jab and move, or were you going straight away for the aggression?
I'd say a bit of both, really, to be honest. I was going to make use of my reach, but I was just throwing very fast straight punches, seeing holes in his defense and just slamming him, really, was the plan. I knew that I've done boxing for longer than him. He got a lot fitter, but I'd say I probably had a slight edge in the fitness.
Yep.
Just because I've been
training hard in Jersey.
I've been training, not as hard as I should have been, because there's only one amateur gym and they don't really train you properly until you've been there for 6 months. I trained as hard as I could in Jersey, but I was training very hard beforehand. I was going to my local gym in Richmond 3-4 times a week.
Nice.
And I think I might have downplayed how much I was training because I didn't want Rog to match it. But
it's good psychology. Always downplay the amount you've been training and how confident you are. Always
exactly,
plant
yeah.
seeds of doubt into your opponent's mind. I think that's always a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's basically. I was just sort of timing it. I didn't really want to get hit because I know that you lost 2 teeth. Is that true in a bout?
I heard that, but... Okay, so it's not actually true that I lost 2 teeth. I lost 2 teeth, actually, in a skateboarding accident when I was 11.
Right, yeah.
But they got cemented back in
when
I was sort of in my late teens, just before I went to university. And they're supposed to basically be permanently sort of inserted into the gum.
Yeah.
But the second or third decent shot from Max in my fight on December the 8th basically knocked whatever cement was left holding the teeth in place. Basically, they just sort of started falling into my gum shield, and then my gum shield came down slightly, so I had to sort of
using a gloved fist,
yeah,
sort of punch my own teeth up into the gum and yeah, then continue on. It was absolutely fine, and then now they're all back in place now, but yeah, it was a few seconds of concern.
Yeah, well, I saw a documentary in which you featured, and in which Gavin featured as well, and afterwards you were saying, this guy, he knocked two of my teeth out.
It has happened before.
He knocked two of my teeth out, and I was like, oh, shit, you lose teeth here?
Yeah.
And I had braces for, like, 4 years, and, you know, I didn't want to undo all that time having worn braces, you know, just for anything else. So I was a bit more scared in the first few rounds. So I knew how hard he could hit. I was going in, hitting him and going straight out.
Nice.
That was what I was doing. I was trying to duck and weave. So I don't think he really landed anything the first two rounds. And the third round, I went sod it. Like, I've got to knock him out. And I really went hard for it. And he got a few shots in, like maybe two or three. But I think he thinks that round's even. But
you
if you watch
some
it,
to
if
give
you
some.
Watch it,
I'll have another look.
Watch it,
I'll have another
not,
look.
I think.
So
I nearly knocked him
obviously,
out.
Obviously, debut bout.
Yep.
And it, you were saying at the start of the interview, it was quite an experience. What do you mean by that? In terms of, was it the crowd that basically made it for you? Was it the fact that you loved the adrenaline rush of actually competing? What was the highlight for you?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. It was I felt I. It wasn't, I did really like the crowd. I did really like the, you know, the really, I did really like fighting. But it was, I was a lot more calm in it than I was expecting, actually.
Okay.
I just felt very peaceful. And, I don't know, I felt this is the culmination of, you know, months and months of training. This is what I've been working towards. And, you know, I'm just performing at my optimum. And, you know, that's what this is all about. That's what life is all about. You know, it's about working towards something, and finally, you know, you're exhibiting what you can achieve.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just like the fact that I could do that. And, you know, the consequences of the fight are kind of immaterial, really. What matters is, you know, the person you've become to achieve that.
Absolutely.
And the fight, you know, the training takes 3 months. The fight's over in 10 minutes. It's not about the fight. The fight's just the finish line. Do you know what I mean?
It's the cherry on the top of the cake.
It's the red tape at the end of the race.
Yeah.
It's not the race itself.
No.
That's
absolutely
what I think I realised.
I think actually your journey begins when you agree to basically step in the ring and then everything that works up to it, and then enjoying the spectacle on the night. And the result does become slightly secondary. I think to some people it's a bit more important, but I find I've had quite a few fights now. I actually just love the adrenaline rush that I get from it. I love the purpose of training for something.
Yes.
And I love the fact that the sort of person that I become when I become a chess boxer.
Exactly.
So does that mean that we're going to see you again? It wasn't one and done for Dan. Is it a possibility that we might see a second and third bout from you if we get the right opponents for you?
Oh, we'll see. Maybe. I think I've got to take some time off because, you know, it's a lot of work to train, but I think you might see another.
I was about to say
the only thing that's certain are death and taxes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I bring both to the world. So
you're going to bring both. Hopefully not the death part. That seems a bit
Roger.
Morbid. the taxes part we can all relate to. No, I'd certainly love to see you. We've got a next show in March, but I mean after that we'll probably be doing one in September, October, and then another one in December. So there'll be a couple of more opportunities in 2019.
Yep.
To have another fight, and there are certainly. What are you weighing? About 83, 84?
No, I'm about 78 at the moment.
78? Okay,
I cut off about 5 kilos to fight Roger. I was initially going to go to 80 because I spent a lot of my uni career bulking to 80 and I just about managed it by the end.
Yeah.
And then, so I said, I'm not going below 80. And he said, well, that's fine. And I said, you know what, sod it. I can meet him at 78.
Nice.
And I basically just...
I know he was weighing 79 a few days before the bout because on the Wednesday before the Saturday that we fought... Yeah. We all weighed ourselves in there.
That sly little bastard.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
He might have even been lower by the time that the fight came round, but I think he was 79, and also he'd have been wearing probably shoes by that point on the
scales.
Probably that is 78.
Fair. No, I cut myself down to 78 just so it was a fair competition, really. Yeah. But I enjoyed doing that. I dieted really hard, just cut carbs out of my diet for the first two. I basically didn't eat. I ate eggs, four boiled eggs for breakfast, salad for lunch, and I just put coconut oil in my coffee throughout the entire day.
Wow.
Just cutting all that stuff out, and then I only ate digestible carbs in the evening when your metabolism's a lot higher. So yeah, I tried hard and I cut the weight out and I was quite pleased with it.
That's a level of dedication I have not yet achieved in my chess boxing career.
Well,
maybe
really?
No, I don't really do much in the way of diet.
amendments. I don't really do much in the way of sort of fitness ramping up or anything like that. I'm the worst ambassador for Czech boxing, but what a great way of ending this interview. But basically, that's the end for today. We've had a nice discussion with Dan the Taxman Mayfield, and I think the takeaway is we're probably going to see him at some point in 2019. And I think he showed an awful lot of promise for a debut fighter, and there's plenty more fighters around about that weight limit. Myself, Nick the Showstopper Cornish, Toby's around that sort of weight as well because he's slimming down even further. He's the man that's fought at 90, 85 and 80. So, I mean, he really is coming down the weights and still winning every time. And next time on the podcast...
Jonathan Arnott.
He beat Jonathan Arnott even when
I should fight Jonathan Arnott.
Jonathan Arnott was weighing about 105 that day, so I mean, you don't want to get hit by him, but then again, he didn't actually throw any punches before he lost, so you probably do want to fight him.
Okay, so that was Matt Reed catching up with Dan the Taxman Mayfield. What do you think of his moniker? He's basically saying there are only two things that are certain in life: death and taxes, and I bring them both. What do you think about that for a from Monica for a chess boxer? I thought that's pretty good.
What, is he a tax man by trade?
Well, his name is Dan the Taxman Mayfield.
Okay.
But I think he's a tax accountant in Jersey. I don't know why. I guess he kind of wanted to be the anti-hero, maybe. That's why he went for tax man. A bit like IRS, I think, in WWF, like back in the 80s, yeah. 80s or 90s. He should really come in with, like, wearing a full suit with like a briefcase.
Well, just strip it off.
Yeah,
and reveal
maybe,
his like massive six pack.
Yeah, well, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So before we go, just thought I'd let you know, or let the listeners know, that we've got another event on the 16th of March, which is the day before St. Patrick's Day. So it's going to be Irish themed, St. Patrick's Day themed. Mm-hmm. So it's called St. Patrick's Day Bash, 26th of March at the Dome, Tufnell Park. Mm-hmm. Tickets at londonchessboxing.com. You can also reach us at LDN Chess Boxing on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've got a match for you for that event at the moment, but hopefully you'll be coming along.
I certainly will, yeah.
Having a look, you're obviously welcome. I'll sort you out with some comp tickets or whatever we need to do.
That'd be very nice.
Have you got anything else to add to the podcast?
No, I just suppose that I think I checked out the tickets for the next one, and the early bird ones have already sold out.
That is true, in fact, they're selling even quicker than the last event.
Wow.
So I just think we had such a good event in December. We had five bouts, sellout crowd, and obviously people are just snapping the tickets up, which is great to see. We haven't quite got anyone to announce yet, but we're working on three or four bouts for that one. Minimum three, probably four. I think five might be too many. It was quite a lot last time, but we'll have a half-time act if we have four.
Okay.
So get your tickets, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. So thanks very much, Cameron.
Pleasure.
Thanks for coming to the podcast. Thanks for fighting.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.